There once was an old man who lived by himself. If truth be told, he was kind of self-centered and somewhat stingy. He wasn't a happy man, and he always seemed to find something or someone else to blame his situation on. So it was that he mailed the only mirror in his house back to the company which had made it many years ago and was still in business, not because it was broken, but rather he wrote this: "To whom it may concern, I am returning this mirror because it is obviously flawed. It no longer reflects correctly, making me look much older than I am. The mirror's reflection has obviously aged more quickly than I. I no longer recognize the face reflected in the mirror. Please send me one which will more accurately reflect what I really look like and which will not make me look quite so old." I read that Daniel Webster went to see the sixth president of the United States, John Quincy Adams, who was aged 80 at the time. Webster asked Adams how he was feeling, and the old man replied, "My spirit inhabits a weak, frail, decayed tenement, battered by the winds, broken upon by many storms. From all I can learn, the landlord does not intend to repair it." Getting old gracefully. Given that it is not usually easy to get old on some levels, and given then our culture's devotion to youngness, how is it possible? I'm going to reflect on three areas as regards getting old. Number one, we used to esteem our elders in this culture. Why did this change? Two, hearing this attitude about our elders, healing this attitude that we now have about our elders, is essential for the survival of our culture. Preparing to age gracefully starts with childhood. So this is not a sermon just for people of a certain age. And finally, I'll offer some ideas about how we might be together in supporting graceful aging. One of my favorite lines in poetry is from a poem by Emily Dickinson: "The truth must dazzle gradually." As regards my own aging process, the truth about what it means to be older has surprised me in dribs and drabs. More than a few years ago now, in Montana, where my mother lived for 20 years, I was automatically given a senior discount at a movie theater when I was 52. I didn't know what to say or do. My mother whispered to me that in Montana you're considered a senior when you are 50. She said, "I wonder what they call me." Then there is the day when you get your invitation to join ARP in the mail. I was baffled. I in no way identified as a senior. I now, I'll tell you, read with interest the articles in ARP. Alas. When I first came here to First Parish 8 years ago, I received a call from someone. I think it was the first week I was here in my office. Someone with a young voice from the UUA, don't remember her name, inviting me to go to a conference on how to spiritually prepare for retirement from the ministry. What? I said to myself. I told her in no way was I even thinking about retirement, that I was just settled and beginning a new ministry. I was full of vitality and exuberance. And this young person responded by saying, "You go, girl." If I had been honest, I would have told her that I was slightly miffed, that I felt objectified, that assumptions were being made about me on the basis of some list with the dates of the minister's birth on it. for me the truth about my own passage into middle age, late middle age, and soon that of becoming an elder has dazzled me gradually, and not effortlessly. I wonder why these responses on my part, why this defensiveness? Why do we like it when people say, well, you don't look, and they put your age in there? Why do we spend billions each year in attempts to stave off the inevitable? Botox and all manner of creams. In fact, I was watching a spiritual video on someone talking about aging. And in the right-hand corner on my computer came on another one about some wrinkle cream that I just had to have. If you take a look at advertising on television for a few days and assess what image is portrayed of elders, basically, advertising ignores the old except to harp about all the embarrassing things that can go wrong with our bodies. It would be comical if it weren't so tragic. Where are the images of aging with acceptance and grace? These images and attitudes can be found in other cultures. Why not in ours? In Korea, it is customary to have a big celebration to mark an individual's 60th birthday and 70th birthday. The Hwan Gap, or 60th birthday, is a joyous time when children celebrate their parents' passage into old age. The age is thought to be reason for celebration. Imagine that. At 70, another celebration is held called Ko Chui, which means old and rare. In writing this sermon, I found myself flustered about what words to use to describe people of a certain age. Senior citizen, elderly, golden ager. In a Harris poll, only 8% of Americans over 65 found the word old to be an acceptable label for describing themselves. I read about some over 55 living communities who fine people when they use the word old in their reference to one another. A majority also objected to older American, retired person, mature American, retired person. I mean, will I retire my personhood when I leave my career in its current manifestation? Is that who I'll be, a retired person? Where are the images and words of honor about elders in our midst? What words would you use? We used to venerate old age more in our land. A book called Growing Old in America describes how at the close of the 18th century, there was a cultural shift from this veneration to condescension. Condescension. Over time, we lost the ability to think of this time of life as eldership. And there emerged new language by which contempt for the old was expressed. New connotations were applied to old labels, things that used to be positive, the word gaffer, the word fogey, which before 1780 had meant a wounded military veteran. Think of how we use old fogey now. Old guard, something that was an honor in the military at one point, now seem used to mean reactionary or aged or corrupt, set in our ways. And new words were invented, codger, old goat, fuddy-duddy, geezer, my least favorite, little old lady. So then I wonder, what words shall we use? Someone suggested chronologically gifted. And I think they're on to something. Everything affects everything else. When a culture does not understand the importance of its elders, much is harmed. When a culture is insistent on worshiping youth and when stereotypes are rampant about the old, we need to speak up, not to participate. I remember in my 20s admiring Maggie Coons. You remember her? The woman who founded the Gray Panthers. She named it after the Black Panther movement, which was being formed at that time and working on anti-oppression against people of color, black people mostly. She called it the Gray Panthers because she knew that that same kind of oppression would apply to the elderly. Now she might say, Gray Lives Matter. Kurt Kuwald writes this, old age is such a massive, painful, absolutely unavoidable, and culturally targeted life experience. Unless, as the saying goes, one happens to die young. You've heard it, only the good die young. For isn't it true, no matter how well off, how protected, how privileged, how entitled we have been in our lives, we are all going to fall under the hammer of the culture's well-honed dismissal of our worth and, in fact, of our very existence as elders. So I wondered, why the change? Can anybody guess? Why would we, over time, in that time, begin to see those aged as not a good thing? Well, follow the money. Before the Industrial Revolution, we revered older people, and after, a shift. The archetype of the revered and wise aged person does not serve production, capitalism. So then, in our aging and in our work to bring dignity and inclusion back to the human life cycle, we actually have an opportunity to challenge the values of empire. For empire, you see, is born of the idea that we can have it all. If we are willing to be violent, wily, aggressive, in the service of greed and lust for power. The sage, the sages, the crones. Crones used to be a positive way to speak of wise women. Know that unless a community, a culture, treats elders as the healthy and dangerous edge they truly are for the human journey, it will die of thirst and hunger for meaning and relevance. So now there's starting to be a big bulge in the population of people who are entering elderlyhood, whatever. And now we're seeing a lot more ads for various drugs that treat that condition in life. Economic thinking, seeing people as expendable, has made us turn our eyes away from people who are no longer in the workforce or able to have the energy to produce. Not that that isn't a stereotype, too. And finally, my own idea. As we have increasingly kept ourselves away from death as true, as part of life, as something we all will experience, we have also started to turn our eyes away from those who are closer to death. So as I was thinking about this sermon, I tried to think about jokes that I heard during the month. Jokes I used to tell and accept with ease. Jokes I laugh easily at. But now sometimes they cause me pause. An elderly couple has dinner at another couple's house. And after eating, the wives leave the table for the kitchen. One man says to the other, last night we went out to a new restaurant and it was really great. I would recommend it highly. The other man asks, what is the name of the restaurant? The first man thinks and finally asks, you know this. What is the name of that flower that you give to someone you love. You know, the one that's red and has thorns. Do you mean a rose? Yes, that's the one, replied the man. He then turns towards the kitchen and yells, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant we went to? So it is true in normal aging that the memory is different over time. That's separate from what we fear, probably more than anything, things like dementia and Alzheimer's. But that isn't all that aging is. We are in the dark about what it truly is, about what is true about older people. So don't be misled. The great arc of human life, in its ending years, has great power. An African proverb says the death of an old person is like the loss of a library. We could say it this way, too. Making an old person invisible with dismissal and disinterest is like the loss of a culture's soul, its history, its understanding of what it takes to get closer and closer to the human beings we want to be. James Hillman, the great religious philosopher, wrote, "Aging is no accident. It is necessary to the human condition intended by the soul. We entertain the idea that character requires additional years. We need mythologies of age separate from death and dying. We need to meet the final phases of living with curiosity, humor, and grace." Aristotle said that the soul's beauty is harder to see than the beauty of a youthful face or form. He said, we learn from the old how to understand the depth of soul in all people. When we sit at the feet of our elders, we can learn, like the little Indian boy did, what our true nature is as human beings. So another truth seems to be dazzling me gradually these days. It is the truth that there are things we can only learn in loving and probably somewhat slower interactions with people of all ages. And if we do not have this in our lives, we miss a chance to know something about ourselves. We are not born to consume. We are not born to wear ourselves out working in order to merely survive. We are not born to praise only the youthful archetype and turn our faces away from the beauty of age. The truth that dazzles gradually is that we are shards of the holy, shards of the universe becoming conscious of itself. We are the ones who will learn to love enough to shape our lives for the benefit of the seven generations beyond. I wonder about our church community. I believe that congregations, spiritual communities, are one of the last places in our country where we can experience and get to know people through time and through generations. What would it be like if we talked about how to be more intentional about this reality among us, about how we find ways to interact cross-generationally, maybe develop some rituals that invite people at age 60 or 70? Well, I personally think 60 is the new 40, so. I'd like to be in conversation about this in the weeks and the months hence. What can we do to show here that we revere all ages, that we seek to learn from all ages of people, that we understand that we want to nourish and deepen our souls, however you define that, our understanding, paring away the non-essentials, learning how to interact in a more loving way. All of those things that it often takes many years to learn. So finally, how we treat elders among us is no different than what we would aspire to in our relationships with all people as Unitarian Universalists. That we approach each other outside of stereotype. I hope it's all right with Holly that I share this story that he told me about being at the back of his car and trying to get his walker out. And a young man came up to him and said, "Can I help you?" And Holly said, "No, I like to stay as independent as possible." Well, this wasn't acceptable to the young man. He wanted to have Holly be in an idea he had about him, and he was miffed. He said, "So you don't want me to help you?" And Holly said, "No, I don't. I like to stay as independent as possible." "Well, if that's the way you want to be." So in our understanding, in our desire to know each other, can we put stereotype aside and really take the time to get to know who are you at whatever age you are? That we become eager to share and receive the wisdom that only those who have lived to ripeness have. That we slow down to the speed of love. Most important. And that we look for the strengths in each other, not put one another in age-bound ghettos of place or mind. That we recognize the human responsibility we have to care for those generations beyond us. Lao Tzu, in the reading today, talked about us being first coming down as a drop of gentle rain. Patricia Brennan let me listen this morning to her grandchild's heartbeat on her cell phone. Her grandchild, still not born, with a beating heart. It was a thrill. The drop, that's the drop of gentle rain. Then we become the spring, the youth. Then a stream, the middle people, who carry and do and achieve and so much. And finally, a river flowing deeper and stronger, nourishing all it touches as it nears its home once again. Don't accept the myths of aging. You are not declining. Go and sit by the river and see your life flow by. Let us sing together now. 318, We Would Be One.